This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here is your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. She's an Emmy Award-winning actor. You might know her from her role on the TNT series The Closer, and she's appeared in the films The Edge of 17, Born on the 4th of July, and Something to Talk About. Her new comedy series, Call Your Mother, is on ABC. Hello, Kira Sedgwick.
Hello. So nice to see you.
Okay, so I want to start by doing this. We have a clip.
Oy.
So your first professional acting job was on a soap opera,
Another World.
Yes. You were 16 years old.
Yes, I was.
You played Julia, the troubled granddaughter of Liz Matthews.
Yes, indeed.
And this is the clip where your character is introduced for the first time on the show. It's a phone call between you and Liz Matthews, played by Irene Daly. Let's hear it.
Oh, Julia, we've all been so worried. Are you all right?
I'm fine, Grandma.
We were so afraid you might be hurt.
No.
We hadn't heard anything from you. Where are you?
I'm with the Deep Six.
Where's that?
That's not a where, that's a rock group. You haven't heard of them? I can't believe that.
Well, maybe. I don't know. There's so many, I can't keep those rock groups straight.
Oh, my God. Isn't that amazing?
So that's what you were in high school. Did that, being on a soap opera and having this character to play, did that radically change your high school life?
I fell in love with it. Like, I was really serious really quickly. I'm much less serious now than I was then, but then I was dead freaking serious. And so I dove in head first, and I got this job, and they agreed to these crazy terms that we thought for sure they would say no to. Like, I had to go to half of my school day every day that I worked. I had to go to school half the day, and then I would be able to be picked up to go to work. But yeah, did it radically change my life? I mean, I always felt like a misfit toy. I think in a way it sort of made me more of a misfit toy, which is a really weird thing to say, because suddenly you're different than everybody else, but like I said, I was dead serious.
Yeah, so you were fine with it.
No, it's fine with it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And post all this in the 80s and 90s, we know you from all these films, including Born on the 4th of July and Singles and Something to Talk About. But of course, so many of us know you as Brenda Lee Johnson from the television series The Closer. The show aired for 7 seasons, and it was a police procedural. You played an interrogator who was incredibly good at her job, and she was especially good at closing cases.
Yes, she was.
Very good. And her kind of catchphrase was, I'm not doing it justice, I'm just saying, but her catchphrase was thank you very much. And can you just talk a little bit about your approach to delivering that line? Because it really says so much about how women are expected to conduct themselves in the world and at work.
Yeah, that's so funny. I love that. I think the secret sauce to Brenda, which really was in the writing, was that she was a dainty, very feminine woman who kicked serious, and was absolutely incredible, underestimated wherever she went.
Yeah.
And killed people with kindness. And so her thank you so much was basically her way of saying F you. It was her way of saying F you. And bless his heart was a way of saying, that person's insane and I want to kill them, So no, but it is, it's so true. It's women get to be leaders, and they get to get the number one on the call sheet or the executive producer job, but you've got to do a lot more. You have to conduct yourself with a lot of diplomacy. You have to make sure not to hurt men's egos, which I'm really good at, and have had to be from the time I was on the soap. So Brenda was she was a really good role model in that way, that she was able to kick butt, but do it with a smile and, heels.
Right. And also really just be saying thank you. So gracious.
Exactly.
If you just look to the words on paper, it's all good.
Right. Yeah. She can't be accused of anything. Yeah.
in a 2010 interview with the New York Times, you said that you always wanted to be in a musical.
Yes,
perhaps a Sondheim musical.
Yes. Oh, God, I would never get hired for a Sondheim musical. My voice is definitely not good enough for that.
But why a musical? Why is that the dream? God.
Well, I think it would just be so fun. I mean, yeah. I have to say, since then, I understand, like, the difference between someone who likes to sing and somebody who actually can be in a musical. Like, you know, I mean, these people are, like, amazing machines and instruments, you know. And, but yeah, I would love to do a musical because I just feel like it's so transporting for the actors as well as for the, audience, especially right now. Like, I feel like people are just longing to be back in the theater right now. And, you know, when all the dancing girls, you know, come out and like the music crescendos and oh my God, you just feel like you just want to jump up out of your seat, you know, in hysteria. And yeah, I would love to do something like that. I think it would just be super, super fun. Like nothing but fun, really. No crying, no like, you know, big dramatic moments, which I don't know if you've heard, but I'm done with those. Like I'm absolutely over it. Like I only want to do comedy, you know?
Yeah. So you have a new show out. It's on ABC. It's a sitcom called Call Your Mother. It's a comedy about an empty nester who has two grown kids. And something you have in common with this premise, because you have two grown kids.
Yes.
And in the first episode, her name is Jean. And Jean flies from Iowa to LA because she hasn't heard back from her son in 4 days.
That's right.
Now, I have to tell you, I watched this, and I've no experience with this, but I was like, 4 days seems long.
Yes. Yay.
Like 4 days. What do you think? How many days would you wait in real life?
I would like to think I would wait at least 4 days. Sounds right. 4 days.
4 days sounds right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, very interesting is that I didn't realize this till a few episodes in that the show is set after the pandemic.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is. I mean, the characters acknowledge that it had happened and events that happened during the pandemic. I feel like this is very unique. What was it like to go on to set where you were in an alternate reality of something that you could say like, well, maybe this is a year in our future.
My God. So nice.
Yeah.
So nice.
It felt like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I feel, you know, we haven't been able to shoot this in front of a live audience, which is a loss. You know, I feel like, you know, when we get picked up for our second season after this interview.
You know how it works.
Yeah, I do. You guys are the most powerful people in Hollywood.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, I hope to be in front of an audience, and I feel like it's made for an audience, this world, this sitcom world, you know? But other than that, I mean, it's such a gift to be together with colleagues and working and taking off your mask for a very short amount of time, but at least like, you know, imagining life when we're past this. Yeah, it's been great.
And laughing. So, Carrie, you and your husband, actor Kevin Bacon, celebrated your 32nd wedding anniversary last September. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we looked it up. There's actually no traditional or modern gift associated with that amount of years, 32 years of marriage. But it seems that the gift that your husband landed on was a goat.
Yes. Two goats, actually.
Two goats.
Yes. Pygmy goats. One of them is a misfit toy and doesn't have horns. But it doesn't stop Macon, who we named Macon Bacon. Macon, it doesn't stop him from thinking he has horns.
Did you want goats? I mean, did you ask for goats?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where Kevin wanted goats. So I didn't know that it was actually happening. And then he said, I got you an anniversary present. And my first thought was, shoot, I didn't get you an anniversary present. I'm notoriously bad with presents, but we also made a deal that we weren't going to get each other presents. And then he said, well, this is a funny one, you know, whatever, let's see. So he walks me down to the barn and then he puts something over my eyes and he's like, okay, don't look. And I walk in and I smell, you know, a lot of poop. And then I open my eyes and the cutest like little pygmy goats are like scurrying to the corner of the stall because we have horses. And so they were adorable and they are so great. And they're so loving and they're so friendly. They're like, They're the kids that you really want to have around all the time. They think you are the bee's knees. I mean, these goats are so excited and happy to see us. Yeah.
Sounds nice. Okay, perfect. So this is a great segue. Would you care to play a game?
Yes, I would care to.
Fantastic. Because it is about goats. Well, actually, you know, goat. Goat is also an acronym for greatest of all time. Yeah.
Yes.
So this game is called Goat Goats. It is about notable goats. Some Guinness World Records involving goats, and multiple choice questions about them.
Okay.
All right. According to Guinness, in September 2019, in Florida, 501 humans and 115 goats participated in the world's largest what? Is it A, goat petting zoo, B, Trojan goat, or C, goat yoga class?
I would definitely say goat yoga class.
Yeah, goat yoga class.
Good.
Yeah. Have you done the yoga with your goats?
I have not. It seems a little weirdly privileged. I don't know. Feels a little weird to me.
You're right. I hadn't thought of that angle, but it does seem pretty privileged, is to use your goats only for yoga. That seems... All right, here's another one. An Austrian goat named Rasputin currently holds what world record? A, largest distance between horns, B, longest beard, or C, most devilish eyes?
Mm. Longest between horns, I'm going to say.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct.
Oh my God.
Yeah, amazing. How did you know that?
You're a goat expert.
Because I have no idea. I'm just guessing. But I know that's a thing. I know that distance between horns is a thing.
Just so you know, Rasputin, the world record holding goat, his horns are about 53 inches apart. Which is almost 4.5 feet.
That's
wow.
The tips of his horns.
The tips.
Oh, the tips. Oh, okay. That's
he would have to have a giant head.
The
for it
largest
to the
head. But yeah, that was horns. Not. He really does have the largest head, but no one was interested in that. All right. Goats named Nanny, Nanko, and Old Whiskers have all lived where? Is it A, Antarctica, B, on the set of The Bachelor, or C, the White House?
I would say Antarctica. I don't know why.
Or the White House. Did you hear that one?
Oh, yeah. Weirdly, I heard the White House, too. Actually, weirdly, the White House.
The White House. That's right. That is right. Yes.
I'm keeping this shirt after all.
It's a lucky shirt.
Is that a new shirt?
It's a maybe shirt. I still have the tag.
Is it a velour of some kind?
It's velour.
Yeah,
it
I know the texture.
It's very cozy.
Yeah, it is kind of cozy. It's kind of cozy.
Good Zoom shirt.
Good Zoom shirt.
The whole
pops.
Thing.
It pops.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln and both Harrisons had pet goats. Benjamin Harrison once chased a runaway goat that was pulling a cart with his grandchild on it. The fun they would have at the White House.
Oh, my God.
Those White House goats would get up to all sorts of hijinks, I'm sure.
And I am sure those goats ate every rose in that rose garden. I'm sure, because that's what I remember from always going to petting zoos with when we were kids, that I remember one ate my mother's purse while we were petting it.
Oh, my God. No, they totally do. They pull on whatever's happening up, you know, yeah, that they want to eat everything. It's really weird. They even eat the wood in their shed. They're just compulsive overeaters is what they are.
They're just trying it out. They're just trying out all the parts of the wood to find the best part. All right.
They're smart.
A goat is among music producer Todd Ray's 2010 Guinness World Record collection of animals that have what in common? A, they can all say thank you. B, they are all 7 feet tall or taller. Or C, they all have two heads.
They can say thank you.
I wish that was true.
No?
I don't think these goats can say thank you. Do your goats say thank you?
But they make really weird noises that sometimes sound like they're actually talking. I could totally see it and hear it.
Okay, maybe we don't know. That might have been the point. Okay, this is specific.
Right. Wait, so go back to the other ones.
The other two options are they are 7 feet tall or taller.
Yeah.
Or C, they all have two heads.
No, they're 7 feet tall or taller.
No, they all have two heads.
That's weird.
Yeah. He's got the biggest collection of two-headed goats.
Great. So, that's something.
Yeah. So okay. he had apparently a lifelong obsession with oddities, and he left the music business to open the Venice Beach Freak Show. And it ran for about a decade until it closed in 2017. God. And I guess he has acquired a lot of two-headed animals, as one does.
Wow. The things you learn on Ask Me Another. Seriously, it's amazing. I'll forget them later, but for now, they're amazing.
I expect you will have trained your goats to say thank you by the next time you are back on the show.
Trust me, when you are at a cocktail party in 2023, that little tidbit is going to come back to you.
Totally.
All right, this is the last question. According to Guinness, in July 1913, a billy goat named Old Doc Yak became the world's first what? A, animated cartoon animal? B, animal elected to public office? Or C, animal who learned how to drive a car?
Animated. First animated.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. God. It was a billy goat really in striped pants based on a print cartoon. Although we should say that there are several goats who have been elected to positions, such as honorary mayor. That has happened. And within the past few years, a goat named Lincoln was twice elected honorary mayor of the town of Fairhaven, Vermont, and then was unseated in 2020 by a therapy dog named Murphy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You did fantastic. You do
Thank
so many
you.
Of them.
Thank you.
And we learned more about goats, which it sounds like maybe a goat would be okay in a New York apartment. It sounds like maybe a shed is a better idea.
No, because the thing is they poop constantly. As you enter, they're so excited, they just start pooping these pellets, just like hundreds of them.
Right.
Like just as a celebration of your arrival.
That's very precious.
That's how you know they like you.
That's right.
Thank you so much. You can watch Kira Sedgwick on the ABC comedy Call Your Mother Wednesday nights. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. This is lovely. Thank you.
That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by our staff, along with Carol Lee and senior writers Karen Lurie and Eric Feinstein, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Barber, Ramel Wood, and our intern Sophie Hernandez-Simeonithis. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm Haripe Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.